Hey, this is Journey Back Home, a podcast for returnees, those in transition, and the just curious.
We're your hosts, Bookie O
and Jamila Zaria,
two girls who packed up life abroad and moved back to Nigeria.
Why? Honestly, we're still figuring it out.
Every week, we will spill on the real stuff.
Culture shocks, money talk, career pivots, starting over, and all the chaos in between.
So whether you're planning your move,
already here,
or just here for the vibe, there's room for you on this journey.
This is Journey Back Home. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to Journey Back Home. This episode is all about the culture shocks that nobody talks about. And genuinely, I think this is going to be my favorite episode, just because I got a lot to say.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, what would you say has been like the first thing when you came that was like, whoa, what the hell?
Obviously, like, for like generally, it would be the light situation.
Okay.
I was not used to it, and I don't think it's something I will ever get used to. But it was too much to just get used to. It was just like, oh my gosh, all the time. And I was living on the mainland at the time.
Okay, so it was a
so there was
work.
Hardly light. So living without light, coming from always having light.
That you just switch on the light. You don't even...
Yeah, it was too much. It was way too much. But also the accent, the fact that they don't understand my accent. I thought, oh, okay, I'm British. It's going to be easy for them to understand me. No, they don't. They don't understand me. Her accent was so... The difference was too far apart.
Yeah, it was glaring.
What about you?
I will say the light was also definitely one of them.
Yeah.
But with the light, I think it was not just that they were taking light. I think it was just knowing that we pay and that doesn't mean you're going to get light.
So okay.
That really confused me as well. It was just like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I would assume it's because we didn't pay our bills. That's why we're not getting light. And I literally just felt like, whoa.
Yeah,
it's just a lot. You're right. It's a lot to really adjust. I wouldn't say it was the accent. I think I'd accepted quite early on that...
You're different.
Yeah, that was my... Yeah, my accent was different, but I also accepted that not how many other countries especially living in London, I hear accents all the time.
Yeah, but
I'm not phased.
English,
so I'm not really phased by an accent. It's only when how they receive the accent, which is it almost comes across that
that's
as if
I
like
meant.
I'm like as if I'm being extra.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
That you're putting it on.
Yeah, that I'm putting it on. And it's just like, no, this is just how I speak. And I can sometimes do it, but that happens more like naturally when I'm like maybe jesting with my girls. Mm-hmm. And then it comes out. Even I think on this podcast, it would have come out a little bit, but it's not my natural default. Is this? This is my voice, people. This is my voice. So I don't know how to like, and I just think it sounds weirder when I try to put it on.
Yeah, I remember when I was in NYC and they would mimic my accent.
Oh.
And I thought that was a form of bullying, to be honest. But I used to get so upset, like, why? Don't even try it.
Yeah.
This is not fake. This is actually me. But I think for me also is that sometimes we feel like I felt like a foreigner in my own country. I thought when I came back to Nigeria, I've come home, I'm the same. And like,
these
I will just
people.
Be welcomed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely always stood out and they made it a thing
very
to make me sure.
Glaring that you're different from us. Like you aren't one of us.
Yeah.
Like really, like even if I think of the, you know, the coin that they coined, like the IJGBs.
Yeah.
That's one thing that really upset me at one point. I used to hate it because it wasn't said with like endearment. It was said with like so much like...
Resentment.
These people are back.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean these people? Like, it just didn't give the energy that I wanted it to give. Mm-hmm. And it just made me feel this kind of like...
Segregation,
within the community that you felt like you should be part of. So maybe now, I think more now, it's definitely more... The IJGBs are back.
Mm-hmm.
It feels nicer now, but generally it didn't feel nice back then. It felt like you were in the room and they're like, oh, they're here. They're back here for December. They're back here to do this. They're back here to do that. And it's just like, of course we're back. This is still our home, okay? Like our parents made a choice to leave and they also made a choice to make sure we come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we back, okay? So yeah, I think I hated that coin so much, that little slogan, but...
Yeah, I think that there's a difference between like locals and then like the diaspora, like us returnees. And I think they make it, initially, they make it a thing to point it out. But as you become part of the community, they just forget it and you become one.
Yeah.
We are Nigerians. That's the truth. Like, so you, separating us from Nigerians is, I get it. We were born abroad, but we are always
going to be Nigerians. So I completely get that. And I think one thing as well is like to not even, I would say, I already knew that the traditions and like cultures and things like that of Nigeria. But I think living here has had like a new like feeling towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Just even just like, oh yeah, now living in Abuja, I think one thing, like I always knew that Abuja had more of a higher percentage of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And there are Muslims here in Lagos as well. So there's a high percentage, there's mosque and everything. But I think I didn't realize if you like live near a mosque that you actually hear the call to prayer. Like, and it's very loud, like very, very loud.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard it, I literally looked at my husband and said, what is that? Because I was so shocked. I was so confused with what was happening. And then we actually live near a mosque, so I hear it literally early in the morning.
Yeah.
So all of that just like shocked me as well. But I'm just starting to get used to it, but sometimes it still does shock me. I'm like, damn. And it's, it's loud.
Yeah, there are some perks though, because Nigerian is a very Muslim country, so we celebrate all. So there are way more holidays than normal.
Yeah, I think that's one good thing.
And I love that. I love the fact that it's like not a working day.
The public holidays, there's so many public holidays.
Yeah.
My husband would tell me that there's a public holiday or it's Children's Day. There's always
a holiday.
There's always a public holiday. There's always a certain name for this public holiday. Yeah. And I'm like, go. Enjoy. Yeah. Like, I do think that's the fun part that I'm excited to experience all these public holidays. And I think what you said about it being predominantly Muslim, I think this is the first, like, country I would say that really entwines Christianity and Muslim very seamlessly. And I think if there was a like something to copy or emulate, I would say emulate how Nigerians do it, because there is no friction, it's such a celebration of each other's religion, and everybody wants to will buy you round when it is for Salah, and then I just really love it. It's Christmas time, people are coming bringing food, no matter what you're celebrating with your religion, it's such a beautiful celebration of each one.
So I do really love that.
Definitely
I love that about that. Mm-hmm. But something else that really, really, like, I think, I guess I knew, because like being growing up as a Nigerian, I always knew that we had African time. But being here in Nigeria, it's like the times that they come up with is always not the time. It's not the right time.
It's not.
People come hours late. Everything starts late. Like even like the nightlife. I remember when I would come here when I was younger for partying. And then my friend told me that, oh yeah, we're going to the club from like 1 a.m. And I'll be like, huh? 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I would be like, that's so late. But literally everything starts late. And you just have to or just know that you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be like, most times I'm always the first there. So I always try and come like really late. But it's like African time is real.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it even throws you off because you actually don't know what time to expect to get there. I think because you can give it like an hour or two, but you're thinking, is that even too early for like the lateness, whatever. But one thing I will say as well is with now living here, unsolicited opinions, more so I'll say from family members, I can't escape, that just come up and I find very frustrating. Even me coming to this trip, like coming to record for my podcast, I had an aunt tell me, oh, you know, you can't leave your husband, like, you know, you're a married woman now. Oh. And I said, what?
Everybody always has something to say now.
What does me being a married woman got to do with me traveling to go and record my podcast?
And to work.
And to work. And to just live my life. And I literally said to her, I was like, auntie, I'm going to live my life. And she was like, oh, she's just saying her own opinion. I said, okay, that's great. But like, I didn't ask for your unsolicited opinion. Like, I'm literally so confused sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it actually irked my soul, because I was thinking, one thing, I'm happy I told her that I'm still going to live my life. But I think I was just even irritated that you felt like that was what you wanted to tell me. If it's not, oh, you've put on weight. Oh, do you know, can you wear that with your husband? Does your husband like what you're... I'm like, why do you... Now that I'm married, I hear a lot more, my husband. Oh my gosh, leave me the hell alone with this stuff.
I think Nigerians naturally are very blunt and straightforward and direct. Mm. Like even in the workplace, even in like within family, I just know that Nigerians do not hold back with their opinions.
Yeah,
you can be somewhere, you can be on the road and somebody will just be like, they will just say something that will put you off. So it's just to know not to get offended because that's just like how Nigerians are. Mm-hmm. They always have something to say. And I'm just like, oh.
Here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. The amount of times I've heard growing up, horrible. And I'm just like, it's not even an offense anymore. I'm just like, okay, yeah, here we come again.
And
like they say things without thinking. Mm-hmm. And I don't take it personal. And I think that's one thing I would advise. Don't take it personal, Nigeria.
Yeah, don't take it personal. But growing up, it is hard. Because I remember even my sister, she had this thing. It's in Yoruba. It says odudu ho 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 like tayoko.
What?
And do you know what that means? It means you're so dark, like a tire. And my sister's dark skin. And I just remember like...
Oh my God.
And it was a family member that said that to her. And I used to think, what? Like when you finally understand what these things mean, you're just like, why is that even something that is coming out of
that
your mouth?
That you say to a child. That you're
saying to, so it's just, as much as you're saying, don't take it personal, sometimes these people say things that you will take personal because it's harmful. Like, so I don't know how we find the balance other than I would rather tell you to shut up and leave me alone. But that would be rude, you know, and disrespectful.
Yeah, you can't.
And
respect
of course
is a big thing there,
Respect. Oh my gosh. If you're not kneeling down, licking the floor, then it's like...
Not licking the floor.
But that's how I feel sometimes. They're so dramatic.
Yeah.
So dramatic. I even had an auntie one recently saying that, introduce herself as Big Mummy. You've been my auntie my whole life. Now you're Big Mummy. Where are you always like? I just feel like
where
the level.
They get it
yeah,
from?
Where did they get it? They just wake up and desire to be called something. I'm like, please just call me my name.
Every Nigerian has a Big Mummy. Come on, we know that.
Yeah, I know.
Big Mummy is like
of ace. Course, of course, but sometimes I just laugh at the whole thing of like, wow, you people really love to be called something.
Respect is such a like staple in Nigeria, but even growing up like in the UK, we knew that. Certain things you can't say to adults
yeah.
and like children are children and the difference was very
glaring.
Obvious but I guess you just kind of get used to it like
yeah.
So not that it's right but you just get used to it and it is what it is. But one thing that I hate to do in this Nigeria and it's still a shock to me is going to the bank because I feel like Nigerian banks are the most, I don't even know how to put it, but they're
infuriating.
It's very frustrating.
Infuriating.
And to think that like our UK cars or abroad cars don't work here. Mm. I think now they're starting to work. They're starting to put things in place. But when coming here and like having to always get cash or have cash on me when in London is a contactless. You literally just tap. I don't even think about withdrawing money or having... Mm-hmm. It's just tap everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very frustrating and it's still a shock. The way how banks are set up and going there is so difficult. And just even fixing issues, even network issues. I remember COVID, I went to like buy some groceries at the store and I had literally 3 cards and all of them at the same time
weren't working.
Bad network. And I was just like stuck because I had bought loads of things, but I couldn't pay. And I was like, it's so normal for network issues. They just looked at me like, oh man, go to the bank, go to across the road and withdraw. And I'm just like, why is that a
normal thing?
Yeah. Like, I don't have time for that. I've come all the way. I just want to pay and go. There are literally no, like still to now, they haven't fixed this issue and it's still, and it will always be a frustration for me.
And with one thing that's different as well with like, using banking and transfer is that you can transfer literally anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like usually you can just like in the UK, like you said, it's tap, but transfer is like, it's not just something you do with your friends and your family.
Yeah.
It's something you do for businesses, for with your Uber and everything like that. So, but I also find that frustrating because when you go to restaurants, if the transfer hasn't gone through, they're not going to want you to leave that restaurant. And sometimes I'm going to kick up off. I have kicked up a fuss to think, no way.
It happened on the day, innit?
Yeah. I am not staying here. Like, that's your business. I know it went through. But let me tell you, it doesn't always go through.
Yeah.
Because depending on what bank you use, that can also embarrass your ass.
Yeah.
And so again, it's also such a frustrating process mm-hmm. of knowing that I want to flex my muscles to be like, no, I'm leaving here. But then your bank will embarrass you.
Yeah, yeah.
It will either maybe not even send on time. Like,
it can reverse. There's so many things.
There's so many factors that play into, like, the whole transfer and banking system here that you just have to, like, breathe.
Yeah, you have to just deal with it.
Yeah.
But what we haven't even mentioned, the biggest pain. Is traffic in this country. I don't think you can ever get used to how much traffic there is here and how many times I have stayed over 2 hours in traffic. Like, it's actually something that people know when they're coming here. Oh, like, be careful because there's traffic.
Mm.
Like, the road system here, I don't know what they need to do. Maybe, like, scrap it and start all over again. But the traffic issue is actually a thing. Now I know not to leave at certain times or not to go to certain areas because I know I'm going to enter traffic. Mm-hmm. I avoid it like a plague. Like somewhere that's like literally 20 minutes can take 3-4 hours to get to just because...
Of the traffic. Do you know what? I will say one thing about living in Abuja. I don't suffer so much traffic like that.
Yeah.
Like, I actually forgot that Nigeria, you can be stuck in traffic.
You're lucky, man.
So when I even came on this trip to Lagos to film this, when I was coming to meet you, that's when I was like, oh, there's traffic.
Yeah.
I got stuck in traffic. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Because I'm so used to, like, when it says I'm going to get there in 10 minutes, I really get there in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever been delayed.
Yeah, but then also check how Abuja is during like seasonal times because I know in December, naturally, the traffic was up.
Yeah.
So maybe in Abuja, it might be a bit different. But you just have to prepare. Like, don't leave your house at a certain time, like rush hour, because you know that it's going to be very busy. Yeah. And like, if you're staying in this country, try stay in like local areas that you can get around easy. Because I stay in Lekki. And I know like to get to certain areas, like 10 minutes. There's no way, nobody can beg me to go to like Aja. Like, I will not be taken because I know I'm going to enter traffic. Like, maybe like on a rare day, like a Sunday where I know it's less traffic. But I'm not going to just go to Aja because I know I'm going to deal with traffic. I will avoid it at all costs. Like, literally.
And there's something that, you know, I think we might face sometimes when we move to Nigeria, which, of course, the poverty, that you see it all the time.
You're reminded of
the disparity of rich and poor. And it's very glaring in your eyes. And I think sometimes that can be really hard to, because I will say, like, in the UK, you don't have extreme poverty. We have relative poverty. It's not the same here. I think also in the US, you have, just like here, you have extreme poverty and extreme wealth. And that, like, when you're seeing people hawking, and that's, you're even thinking, oh, you're even selling. But some people, they don't even have that. And, and even how they live, like we were talking about the minimum wage, that even, some people don't even get paid that.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. And so you are just in this place where you want to help people, but you want to find the balance of, yes, you want to help people, but also people are willing to take advantage of you because of this same poverty that is stricken with. So I don't know. That's been hard to like process.
Yeah, I think living in Nigeria, you realize how hard it is. Mm. And even sometimes like you'll be on the road and you see like little kids begging for money, and it's so easy to get frustrated, but then you remember, like, it's actually really hard.
Yeah.
So like, you have to come with like empathy and just have like just be willing to like be more sensitive to other people's situations. And I think one thing that does, I don't know, I wouldn't say annoy me, but I think I'm going to say it, but I think a lot of Nigerians are entitled.
Mm,
like, even the ones that don't need to beg, they have this... like, for example, I literally came back from holiday and the first thing I heard, in fact, I heard it more than 20 times, is, what did you buy for me? What did you bring for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that entitlement of you must bring something for me, or you must give me something, or you always have, like, this... random person that's not even your family member begging or asking for money.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I am a giver and I'm a good person. I try to help as much, but that entitlement of I should give you because you may know me, I just think that is wrong. Like, and I personally don't really like it. Like, I don't like it when random people that I've probably just met start begging me for money, even though I get it. I understand it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that
it makes me make you feel uncomfortable. Yes.
You're going to get it a lot here. And I know people that literally send money to hundreds of people monthly, and it's just because of who they are.
No, yeah.
But if you're not, if you don't have your guard up or you're not discerning, you're going to end up giving to a lot of people. So I think just be discerning about who you're giving to. If you're led to give, but it's not everybody. Some people are very fraudulent. I'm not going to lie. Some people are faking it.
Yeah.
And someone even told me, oh, you see those little kids on the street? That it's a whole company. It's like a business. They run a business, like doing that. It's not real. Because I remember I used to see this little boy all the time, and I used to give, I felt sorry for him. But then when I used to see him again and again and again, I used to think, what are you doing with this money that I'm always giving you, or that people are always giving you? Are you actually trying to improve? The fact that you come here all the time, it must be your job now. So you just have to be a bit more like, protect yourself from that. Like,
And even on that note of like begging, one thing that I really get sad about seeing is how disabled people have been made to feel in Nigeria. I think one I see, of course, a lot of disabled people begging, but I also look at it from the place of when I'm in the UK, disabled people are fighting for rights that they can work. And what you're saying that you've become in, I don't know if, I don't want to say it's entitlement, but you've now, I don't know if it's a society that's conditioned you to believe that you can't do more.
It's a society, definitely.
And it breaks my heart to see that that's a belief system that is now ingrained in people to think that because you are disabled, you can't do something, because that is not how I grew up. That's, we weren't raised seeing people. We saw them fighting that I have a brain. Yeah, I can use it. Just because of whatever disability I have doesn't stop me from going to work and doing so many things. And to see the opposite here, it almost feels so like I'm in a dystopia of a different world where people are disabled and leaning on that and saying that, oh, because
they're using
of
it to beg.
It to beg. And so it feels sad to see that. And I think I saw recently that this lady who's like has an initiative like building up to just even just about spaces in Nigeria for disabled people. Because if I think of a lot of buildings, there's no like consideration for people if they had wheelchairs or to even go up this, like whatever disability people might have. I don't feel like it's considered in the infrastructure of Nigeria.
Yeah.
Sometimes lifts aren't working. Like there's so many things that is such an oversight for a disabled community here in Nigeria. And I think that's something that still shocks me a lot.
Yeah.
Like by living here is I don't know what I can do, but it's just something to be to you that you're aware of, you know?
Yeah, I think sometimes we actually forget when you're moving here that this is a developing
big country.
Nigeria has so far to go. I mean, we are improving all the time, but we're actually moving to a developing
country.
We're coming from a country that's developed hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Nigeria's far, far behind. And the honest truth is that we can't fix everything. So having that, because I hear it a lot that, diaspora, like the returnees, we have like savior complex. We think that we can help everybody. We think the truth is we can only help as much as we can, but we can't help everyone. Nigeria has to help itself. The truth is that the government itself does not help as much as we see other governments in different countries help and support their country.
Yeah.
When you come here, you realize, wow, the government's not really involved in the day-to-day life of people, of the ordinary people. The government doesn't really, it feels like sometimes they don't care. And it's so frustrating. But the truth is like, there's only so much we can do. We can't help and we can't fix. We just have to be patient and pray that Nigeria will get better. So not forgetting that it's not where our other countries are.
Yeah, of course. And it's never to compare it to be like, oh, you need to be like the UK or other things. Or I think it's just even like being aware of like this being so different. And of course, I agree with you. It's going to take time. But I think it also takes these type of conversations and knowing that people bring it to people's... Because maybe somebody hasn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
It's never even crossed their mind. So even saying it, maybe it's a place for someone to even like... It plants a seed in someone to be like, you know what? That's so true. I never thought that. When I open up my business, I'm going to ensure that there is a space for disabled people to come. Like, let there be a space where people feel welcome and all types of people. Because I think a lot of the businesses that are built, but are being built right now, they're heavily targeted to the diaspora or to the percentage of Nigerians that can afford these things. Whereas there is a mass... we have one of the highest populations.
Mm-hmm.
And with that population, I think there's a percentage that are just so overlooked. Like you rightly said, it's like, you don't care for them. They'll figure out on their own.
Yeah.
But like I said, you're right. We can't fix everything, but whatever businesses we do want to build, maybe have them in mind.
Yeah. Like with problems come solutions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what makes it a beautiful thing because the fact that we're developing means that there's so much opportunity. You can literally think of an idea that would solve these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And not to put in your mind that you can fix everything, but pick one thing and create an opportunity that would help the country. And that's what makes living here so exciting, I think. But I think Culture Shock is something that you will definitely have.
Keep experiencing.
Yeah. You will definitely compare it to where you're coming from. But come with an open mind. I think just have empathy and just be sensitive to the situation of the country, because I know a lot of people that get frustrated with all the things that are wrong with the country.
But if you focus on all the things that go wrong and aren't like then that's all you see, to be honest. And but there is so much beauty here and there's so much life. And the one thing I will say, like, as much as we complain about it, is like the community part. Yes, people can be in your business, but actually they care to be in your business.
Yes,
they want to know that,
They don't care in the UK. They don't even bother. They don't even twitch or say hi to you in the mornings. So the fact that they care enough to say something, it makes you feel welcomed, loved.
Like, I could be walking and people are just saying good morning to me. Good afternoon.
Oh, you look beautiful. Do you know how many times I heard that when we went for our walk today? People were just like, I like your face. I'm just like, it makes you feel loved. So that's what's
and
great.
Seen. Yeah. And seen. I think that's the most beautiful part, that you feel seen here. So, thank you.
Thank you guys for watching our episode and tune into our next episode. Of course, follow us on all our platforms
at Journey Back Home Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.